Excuse me, this is the operator speaking. Hello, sir, can you hear me?
We can hear you, but the person speaking is saying the conference is about to start, so can't be heard.
Okay, that's no problem. I have a transcription recording.
You knew how that was going to end up. Okay, so should we?
Okay. Do you want me to do that admin stuff?
Ah, yes. I'm just going to do some changes.
I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Metallitz from the Intellectual Property Constituency, and you have arrived at or wandered into the meeting of the Commercial Stakeholders Group. So let me first orient everyone, because not everyone is as familiar with the structure here, orient everyone to where we are and what we'll be doing over the next couple of hours, what we plan to do anyway. The Commercial Stakeholders Group consists of the three of the constituencies in the GNSO, the Intellectual Property Constituency, the Business Constituency, and the ISP and Connectivity Providers Constituency. And we've been functioning as a cross-constituency group informally for quite a while. And in the past year, this has been formalized as part of the reorganization of the GNSO into the Commercial Stakeholders Group. So anybody who is a member of any of those three constituencies is also a member of the Commercial Stakeholders Group. The three constituencies have rotated the responsibility for preparing the agenda and chairing the meeting and so forth, and the intellectual property constituency had the short straw this time. So that's why you're hearing from me rather than from Marilyn Cade from the business constituency or Tony Harris from the ISP constituency, who will be all of whom will be up here at the head table. The CSG is a very lightweight structure, at least we hope that it will be, and it is its activities are supervised by an executive committee, which consists of six people, the two I've already introduced and myself, and then Claudio De Gangi, Sarah Deutsch, and Tony Holmes. So I'm not sure if Claudio here? Claudio's there. He's in the back. He's trying to hide, but he's there. And Sarah and Tony Holmes, unfortunately, are not with us. We do have remote participation, either by dial-in or by the Adobe room. And so we'll ask those folks to introduce themselves. But I think a sign-up sheet is going around. Please indicate your affiliation. And the reason that I mentioned who is a member of the CSG is that this is an open meeting, as our meetings almost always are, but the executive committee in developing the agenda, it became clear that there was a need for us to close the meeting to only be for participation by CSG members and for at least a short portion of the meeting. So that will take place at 12 noon. So at 12 noon, we will ask all the people in the room who are observers who are not members of one of the three constituencies to please leave the room, and we will end the remote access at that time as well. And then we will be discussing in the closed meeting some questions regarding voting for officers of the GNSO Council and similar issues that we felt should be handled in a closed session.
And Steve, at this point, I think we should explain that if you're new to these meetings, you may not realize that routinely we do an MP3, and we also, for this particular meeting, we're recording it, but we've also requested a transcript. We do not have real-time scribing. That was canceled due to a conflict of time of availability, but we will have a transcript, and that will be available, if not yet today, early tomorrow, and that will be posted. And we'll explain later, if you're not familiar with this, how to find the transcript. So let me just, at this point, ask the operator to start the recording. The other thing that is new this time, and I mention this because I want us all to express our appreciation to ICANN, is that our meeting is being translated into three languages and streamed. So that is a significant addition to the services that we are able to provide to the broader community, and something that we all really owe ICANN a vote of appreciation for. So at this point, if I can just verify that the operator will start the recording before we go to Steve to do a roll call. In addition to asking you to sign in, we, of course, for the purposes of the public transparency, do want to do a quick roll call. Can I verify the operator has started the recording?
This call is being recorded. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we know what languages the translation will be in? Because people in the room can also take advantage of that, and there are headsets at the door, I believe. So I assume it's Spanish.
Definitely Spanish.
So we'll find out what the other ones are. Okay, before we start the roll call, let me just briefly give an overview of how we see the agenda, and of course we'll ask for approval of the agenda, but we have some guests coming in, so in some areas we don't have too much flexibility. At about 10:30, we will be joined by Debbie Hughes and Amber Sterling, who are the organizers, the chief organizers of the proposed new non-profit organizations constituency. This is proposed to be a constituency within our sister stakeholder group, the non-commercial stakeholder group. And they will explain what the purpose of that constituency is, and I think this is a very important development for us and as well as for ICANN. So we've asked them to come and present briefly and take questions. Starting at about 10:45, we will be joined by a number of senior staff from ICANN, a group led by Akram Atala, who is the new chief operating officer of ICANN. I think we've had his predecessor, the COO, Doug Brandt, at all the last several CSG meetings. So this is an opportunity first to meet Akram and learn about what his responsibilities are going to be. And second, the focus is on the operating plan and budget for fiscal year, ICANN operating plan and budget for fiscal year 2012. And there will be, Akram and his colleagues have a presentation that they will give on that. So that will run roughly from 10:45 to 11:30. At 11:30, we do have a couple of other agenda items. I know we want to talk briefly about the status of the proposal for improvements to the registrar accreditation agreement, and there may be other topics to be discussed then. And then, as I mentioned, we will have a closed meeting at we will close the meeting at about 12 o'clock and ask the non-members of the constituencies to exit and to and we will end the remote participation at that time. So that's a brief overview of the proposed agenda. Before we approve the agenda, why don't we ask everyone here to introduce themselves once again. I'm Steve Metallitz. I represent the Coalition for Online Accountability, which is a member of the IPC. And after Marilyn introduces herself, maybe we can detach that microphone from its stand and just pass it around so that those in the room can introduce themselves.
Thank you, Steve. My name is Marilyn Cade. I am the CEO and principal of a micro enterprise that offers consulting services and informational services to large corporations and trade associations focused on internet governance, and I'm the chair of the business constituency.
Lee Williams with the Financial Services Community and a member of the BC.
Steve DelBianco, member of the Business Constituency and Vice Chair for Policy Coordination there, and I head a group called Net Choice.
Chris Chaplow, Vice Chair for Operations and Finance, the Business Constituency, and Andalusia.com in southern Spain.
Yes, I'm Wolf-Ulrich Knoben from Deutsche Telekom, which is a member of the ISPCP constituency, and I'm a member of the GNSO Council.
Mm-hmm. Olivier Muron, I'm a member of ISPCP constituency, and I'm also a member of the ATRT review team.
Not a problem. John Berard, member of the business constituency.
Alain Midron, representing France Telecom and ITNO.
Gillian Murch from BT, part of the ISPCP constituency.
My name is Mark McFadden. I was secretariat of the ISP for 9 years, but had to leave in disgrace. I went to work for IANA, and now I'm working for a small consulting firm competing with Maryland in south of England.
Martin Sutton from HSBC and a BC member.
Nick Wood from Validaeus, an IPC member.
Liz Williams from Valadez.
Faisal Shah with Mark Monitor. We're members of the IPC and BC.
Alisa Cooper, also from Mark Monitor, members of the BC and IPC.
Don Blumenthal with the Public Interest Registry. I have to leave at 11, so I won't be thrown out at noon.
Brian Winterfelt with Steptoe and Johnson, a member of the IPC.
Fred Feldman, Mark Monitor, a member of the IPC and BC.
Jim Baskin from Verizon, not the registry, so I am eligible and am in the business constituency.
Claudio DeGangi, I work on staff for the International Trademark Association. We're a member of the IPC, and Steve mentioned I'm an alternate on the CSG Executive Committee.
Akino Imamura from the Japan Network Information Center, the member of ISPCP.
Luis Martinez from Universidad Iberoamericana in Mexico. I'm observing.
Hi,
Christine Doreen from the National Arbitration Forum.
Colleen Askvig from National Arbitration Forum.
I'm Richard Schreier from Pool.com. I'm not a member of the BC yet, but I guess I will get thrown out at 11.
Mikey O'Connor from the cleverly named O'Connor Company and member of the BC.
Mara Girsi from Estonian Internet Foundation.
Mara Coates from Estonian Internet Foundation.
I'm Tosh Tatish from Japan SBS Association.
Scott McCormick, BC member.
Alberto Ramirez, Colombian lawyer and new member of BC and IPC.
Hi, Chris Martin with the U.S. Council for International Business, also a member of ICANN's nominating committee.
Philip Corwin, I'm counsel to the Internet Commerce Association, which represents domain investors and developers, and ICA is a member of the business constituency.
Aisha Hassan, International Chamber of Commerce, member of the BC.
Jarkko Ruska from Nokia, member of BC.
Tero Mustala, Nokia Siemens Networks, member of BC.
Mary Jo Kuklar, I represent Name Administration for the BC.
David Taylor, Hogan Lovells, member of IPC.
Michael Adams, Mayor Brown, member of IPC.
Paul McGrady from Greenberg Traurig, also right for LexisNexis, member of the IPC.
Christina Rosette, Covington and Berlin, IPC rep to the GNSO Council.
I'm J. Scott Evans. I am from Yahoo. I am also a member of the Board of Directors for the International Trademark Association on the Executive Committee there. And glad you're all here.
Philip Shepherd with AIM, the European Brands Association, and a member of the BC.
Jonathan Metkowski with Las Vegas Sands Corp. Sands is a member of the BC.
Mike Rodenbaugh. My law firm is Rodenbaugh Law. I'm a GNSO counselor for two more days for the business constituency.
Naum Asomariam from JPNIC, ISPCP.
Andy Coombs, I own my own law firm. I'm here for the International Anti-Counterfeiting Coalition, which is a member of the IPC.
Jamie Wagner, I'm with the Brazilian Steering Committee, where I represent the ISPs, and I'm currently representing the ISPCP at the GNSO Council.
Ron Andruff, RNA Partners, member of the business constituency and also an applicant for the .sport top-level domain.
Thank you. And online, I'm pleased to see we've got Barry Cobb, Blen Shackerman, Hegarty, John McVeigh, Ken Bauer, Mark Partridge, Sarah Deutsch, Tony Holmes, Trevor Schmidt, and Wolf Knoben.
Yes, and I'm Tony Harris with the ISPCP constituency. Thank you. Has anybody not introduced themselves?
Ann Aikman Scalise from Tucson with the IPC.
Could you, the person on the phone, repeat that because we didn't hear the.
Yes, I'm sorry I'm late. It's Ann Aikman Scalise. I'm with Waterfall Economidas, and I'm a member of the intellectual property constituency.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else on the telephone now? We'll periodically check back on that because obviously some people will join later. So I think we've introduced everybody. And we've presented a proposed agenda, and I think our guests are maybe our 10:30 guests may be arriving here. So let me just ask if there's any other agenda items that people want to add, or are we comfortable moving ahead with that proposed agenda? Hearing no objection, we will move ahead with our agenda, and our guests have arrived on time and under budget. So let me invite Debbie and Amber up here to introduce the proposed nonprofit organizations constituency. 15 minutes. Do you have a presentation?
Good morning. My name is Amber Sterling, and we do not have slides for you because there are slides all week. And we're hoping just to take a few minutes of your time to introduce you guys formally to what will hopefully be a new constituency in early 2011 within the NCSG. And so the proposed constituency is dedicated for not-for-profit organizations around the world, clearly, who are interested in their operational concerns, specifically the impact of DNS policies and the effects on those on the operational readiness and implementation of non-commercial missions and objectives. And so we are currently discussing, or we have discussed with the NCSG Executive Council, the name may be changing just slightly later on this evening. Compromise is a wonderful thing, and so we're going to be moving towards the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns Constituency. The acronym will remain because it's ICANN. The acronym is the most important thing. And so, Debbie, do you have any?
Thanks so much to the Commercial Stakeholders Group for allowing us a couple seconds just to say hello. Many of you know that I've been working very diligently on this since I was appointed to the council, and was actually one of the requests from the board that we try to reach out and get more not-for-profit organizations engaged in ICANN policy development, and pleased that Amber and several organizations around the world have already indicated their interest. What we are hoping to do over the course of the next several months is to quickly get this constituency approved. And the reason I say that is many of you will appreciate that it's hard to get an organization to join something that doesn't exist, right? And so my challenge with my outreach efforts is trying to explain the value of participating in ICANN and then trying to explain, but it's not ready yet. So is it okay for you to still go to your board and get approval for organizational representative, you know, representation? And that's the challenge. So a lot of questions have been asked, you know, who are your members? Who are the people who are engaged? For obvious reasons, I'm sure you all can appreciate that. If I don't have permission from that organization to say that they're ready, I can't give that name. And then a lot of them are still in that state of flux where they say, well, come back to me. Once you're done, we're ready to go. I am very pleased to say that we have a very active list of around 30 or so organizations around the world who are ready once we're ready. The challenge, I think, will be hopefully encouraging the Structural Improvements Committee as well as the board to move quickly towards not just approving this constituency, but allowing us to have the flexibility that we need to get the communication out on a global basis. Oh, the other thing that I would just mention, too, is some folks have asked what are some of the differences that we're going to try to bring. As Amber outlined in a brief overview of the mission statement, really what we're talking about is operational readiness. So nonprofit organizations, just like many of your organizations, use the DNS to run organizations. We have infrastructure. We have things that we need to get done. We deliver services. We're collecting funds. We are fundraising. We are selling things on our websites to, for, you know, effectuate our business. That is the perspective. Our members are organizational representatives of those organizations. So you're not going to have an individual member of our proposed constituency. Those members would be organizations, and they would be designating a primary representative as well as an alternate. So structurally, and, you know, for those of you who had those kinds of questions, that is the distinction as well.
And so we submitted our charter to the board November 2nd, 2010, and it has been posted for public comment as of December 1st. And we are hoping that in our 10 minutes we have remaining with you, we're hoping that the business constituency would come out in our favor publicly and say that they, isn't that subtle of me, and encourage the formation of this new constituency. And so with that, we're hoping if there are any questions from you in the that we can help, that we could answer, or if you have any additional information requests, we are here.
Thank you very much. I think we have a question in the back. Phil, yeah, why don't you use the microphone, I think, for the benefit. Philip. Philip.
Hi, Phil Corwin. I think it's fine what you're doing, but just to make sure I understand and everyone understands who would be in this constituency. In the, I have to refer to U.S. law. In the U.S., there's a broad group of nonprofits under Section 501 of the IRS code, and a lot of them include groups like the ICA or NetChoice or the American Bankers Association, which are trade associations for for-profit businesses. Is your group more focused on what would be 501c3s, which would be charitable and educational organizations?
Under
the
American tax structure, it would be 501c3s.
Okay.
And so we all of our members must meet the NCSG membership requirements, which preclude not-for-profit organizations that are exclude not-for-profit organizations whose members have a commercial interest.
And I guess the other question would be, how is your group going to be differentiated from the NCSG?
Currently, the NCSG, at least in the last year or two, they've really been focusing on the individual voice within the non-commercial user group. And what we are hoping to do is better represent the organizational non-commercial perspective.
Okay. Thank you.
So, and just to clarify, too, so the not-for-profit organizations that are currently members of the NCUC that do advocate here in ICANN Forum, the perspective that they've been bringing has been not necessarily representative of their organization, but perhaps of their individual participation in ICANN.
Additionally, many not-for-profit organizations are advocates for human rights perspectives and things of that nature, and so our constituency group, you don't, so long as you're within the NCSG, you can be a member of as many constituency groups within that stakeholder group as you wish. And so an organization could very easily be a member of the MPOC and discuss its operational concerns and how it does its, and how it manages its infrastructure within the DNS system, in addition to being a member of currently the NCUC and advocate on behalf of its members for more of the human rights perspective. And so those two camps are not mutually exclusive.
Thank you. I have Phil Shepard, Paul McGrady, and Tony Harris in the queue. Is there anybody else that wants to be in the queue? Marilyn? Oh, I'm sorry. Liz? Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd just like to say, I'm personally, and I hope all of us here are extraordinarily pleased that this development is happening. You are, maybe overstating it, you are the fulfillment of a vision that we had some time back. We had recognized in the older structure of the Names Council and then the GNSO that there was an absurd amount of antithesis between commercial users and non-commercial users because there was a focus on some relatively minor issues where there was some disagreement. And we felt that this was completely wrong because there should be a whole sea of issues for which we were clearly united as users. That led to our thinking and our outreach in terms of restructuring to say, we will sacrifice our current seats if we can see a growth and a development within the non-commercial users. That was part of a negotiation. That led then, as you know, to a recognition that perhaps we needed appointees to kick that off, for which Debbie, of course, is one of those. And so I think it's just wonderful that it has all started to happen. And Debbie, I commend you for the work that you've done in this and that it is happening, and that is precisely the, you know, user perspective development that we're hoping for. So great and welcome.
This question, again, is a clarification about who the membership would be, with the goal of being able to identify other people beyond people in this room to write in support of it. I know we've talked about the 501c3 charities. Do we anticipate educational institutions
and religious organizations coexisting in this space. So we would could theoretically have the Southern Baptist Convention being a member, and as well as Easter Seals, as well as DePaul University, and that would be fine.
We have a number of religious organizations as well as educational organizations. I myself am an educational organization.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, I don't have a question, actually. I have a comment because I'm quite familiar with the initiative that that's being taken forward here. I'm speaking not for the ISPCP constituency, but in my role as a member of the Executive Committee of Global Knowledge Partnership, which is a global alliance initiated by the World Bank in 1998, which brings together organizations all over the world to promote social inclusion through private-public partnerships involved with basically with the use of ICTs to reduce poverty. Several of our members have already begun to participate in this new constituency. As soon as it is operational, I can foretell and that probably 15 or 20 more of our members will quickly be joining this constituency. Thank you.
I have Marilyn and Liz. Anybody else want to? Oh, Bill, okay. Marilyn, go ahead. Thanks. You can use either mic. Okay.
Better to face people than you. I could echo Philip's words about the vision we had when some of us worked together to found ICANN, and when we first conceptualized what the organizational structure was going to look like. In the new body, many of you who are very familiar with what the internet landscape looked like in 1996 and 1997 remember that there were other bodies, such as the regional internet registries, who did not actually have a formal entity called the ASO at that time that was formed under ICANN. There were three regional groupings of CCTLDs. They did not have a coordinating entity at ICANN at that time. The CCNSO emerged out of the organizing structures long after ICANN was founded, really. We came together, several of us, in planning what the convening of the generic names organization would look like, and created a concept of balancing against contracted parties. And I just want to remind people that in those days, actually, competitive registrars did not exist. But the vision was that the non-commercial entities would be organizational groups who had a set of concerns about the kinds of functions and activities that ICANN engaged in. It went through some very rocky days, and I think it's important for people here who weren't around then to understand that some of the non-commercial organizations did try to participate in ICANN and felt driven away and did not find a friendly home at that time. So this is a particularly important point and an important time, I think, in ICANN's growth and evolution. A number of those organizations do actively come and attend the national and regional IGFs and also the global IGF. So you can count on me to help to bring you to the attention of some of those national and regional groups that are coming to those entities to see if they're also interested. But I applaud your effort, and I think for myself, speaking as an individual, I hope we will all do all we can to help educate the board about the importance of this.
I guess for the transcription, please, everyone should, I should have said this before, everyone should introduce themselves
as
they speak.
Yeah, Ms. Williams. Really great job, guys. Very U.S. focused on Section 5031 IRS, whatever it is. Could you just tell me, because I am Australian, I live in the UK, we don't have those kinds of things. It would be very helpful just to have a quick overview about how you're going to do membership that is not driven by a U.S. North American focus, because there's a lot of other particularly in the United Kingdom, there's a lot of the charity sector and advocacy sector that may well be interested in being involved, for example, the National Trust or...
Can you repeat the question when you answer?
Sure, absolutely. So the question was, how will we manage membership and outreach and information about the types of organizations that are appropriate for joining the NPOC outside of the United States? The good news is that we have some of those already, and what we've been doing is working with our experts at each of the various ICANN regions, but also in specific countries, to identify the types of documents that verify their charitable status. So, for example, focusing on humanitarian, educational, philanthropic, what those words mean in whatever the jurisdiction is, and then finding the documentation that's appropriate to sustain such. So I'll give you an example in Canada. We had a wonderful organization that just recently joined, and we were trying to struggle with how do we verify that this is an organization that meets these types of criteria. Worked with him and his CFO and other parts within their organization to point us to the right document that verified that in Canada, this is what a not-for-profit organization that meets humanitarian, educational, charitable, philanthropic, social inclusion, those types of words. So finding ways to translate those words jurisdiction by jurisdiction is the key, rather than focusing on specific legislation. What we're asking each organization to do is to provide evidence within their jurisdiction that they are a not-for-profit organization that meets this category. And then to kind of piggyback a little bit off of what we've been doing with the business constituency, for example, when an organization isn't one of those, we've been kindly sending them to Marilyn and her group, because that's where we think there's a fit. And as a matter of fact, I think we've got a couple more for you that have come through over the past couple of days. So that's how we're working. We're funneling it, defining it broadly, then within the jurisdiction, working with that member organization. What, you know, does that mean for you? What kind of documentation can you provide for us? And then if it's not a fit, then we've been sending them over to Marilyn.
Bill is next, and then I see our ICANN guests are starting to arrive, so although maybe anyway, we'll be wrapping up shortly.
Sure, I'm Bill Smith with PayPal/eBay. If you were at the breakfast earlier this morning, you know that I'm part of the business constituency and the group that just says no. However, I am very much in favor of getting not-for-profits to participate. I will say I have a question, and that is then where would, using U.S. terminology, where would 501(c)(3)6s participate? And some comments. Using 501(c)(3)s also may not be sufficient if you truly are looking for, I think, the types of organizations you are looking for, because it is possible to become chartered as a 501(c)(3). But not actually meet, but in fact still be a, in essence, a trade association. So I'm wondering where organizations like W3C, the IETF, OASIS, those types of organizations, this is an open question to the larger group, where they participate in the ICANN community. Personally, I don't believe that the BC is the correct place. Okay, having been a board member at several of these organizations, they have needs independent of their members, and I currently don't see a way for them to be represented here accurately.
Hopefully answer your question in stages as you asked them. The membership requirements, while yes, you do have to have demonstrable evidence of being a not-for-profit organization within your country, the next question is, what is your mission? And does your mission meet the requirements of the NCSG and thereby by the MPOC? And so it is there's multiple steps or multiple reviews need to go on before membership is granted within the MPOC. And additionally, for organizations, as you spoke, unfortunately, I am not completely aware of their missions and their purposes. If they don't fit with us for whatever reason, if they don't fit with you for whatever reason, then hopefully within next year or 2 years, you will have a new group of folks sitting before you asking for their support to form a constituency within the ICANN community to represent that voice more sufficiently.
Okay, I think our ICANN guests have arrived. If we could bring Akram in and the others. Jay Scott, why don't you have the last word here? And I want to ask Chris if anybody in the chat room has a question that they've posed. No, thank you. So go ahead.
This is Jay Scott Evans, and I speak on behalf of my company now to say, for someone who has to work with nonprofit organizations all the time to thwart the abuse of your causes for malicious activity, I applaud the fact that you all have stepped up and taken the political heat you have to give your organizations a way to better work with this community to come up with responsible and thoughtful processes that will assist you all in making sure those people who are trying to donate to the causes and humanitarian causes that you all represent actually funnel the dollars to the causes. Because we've worked with you for many, many years over tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and fires to thwart malicious activity. And I know it's been difficult, and I want you to know that Yahoo is behind you 100%.
What?
I just wanted to close by saying thank you again, Steve, for accommodating us and to the entire consumer stakeholders, commercial stakeholders group, I'm sorry. Thank you for accommodating us. And if you support our efforts, please, the public comment period is open now. It closes January 23rd. Just two lines saying that you support our efforts would be certainly appreciated.
Thank you very much. I hope you've gotten the message loud and clear, and we appreciate your time. We now have a group of the, as I mentioned, the staff from ICANN. Let me ask them all to come up here. I will vacate the seat, and they can introduce themselves. And they know that they're here at a meeting of the Commercial Stakeholders Group, and they know what that is, so we don't need to introduce that further. So please, come on up.
You have a presentation.
Yeah, is someone presenting it, or we plug in here?
Yeah, you plug in there.
Go ahead.
let me filibuster here for a second and introduce ourselves while we're getting our technology set up. It's great to be here. I appreciate this. My name is Kevin Wilson. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for ICANN. I'm the outgoing Chief Financial Officer for ICANN. And it's been a great opportunity to service you these last 3.5 years, and I'll be leaving in January. And just wanted to say thank you very much for all that you do for ICANN. And I know this last budget cycle was a great learning experience, I think, for all of us, in particular this the CSG. And I hope you'll see the mill of that process, you'll see some of the fruits of that labor, to mix a few metaphors. So I'd like to pass it over and introduce our, while Juan's setting up, Akram, would you like to introduce yourself, and then Juan?
Hello, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you here our budgeting plan for next year. And please make it an interactive session. We would like to hear your comments. My name is Akram Atala. I'm the new Chief Operating Officer for ICANN. I've been here 2 months, so I don't have my lingo quite right yet. So the acronyms and the right way of seeing things is not very clear. But I think that this is a great opportunity, and the work that you guys do is amazing. I'm still surprised by how many volunteers and make up this community, and how much work these volunteers put in the community. And I'm looking forward to helping you get your job done. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. As Kevin previously mentioned, my name is Juan Ojeda, and I'm the new controller here at ICANN. And I thank you for the opportunity to take a few minutes of your time, of your busy day, to go over some new enhancements that ICANN is excited to roll out in regards to the budget development phase. So in my short term here, Kevin has actually briefed me that there were some enhancements that needed to be made to the budget development phase, and in specific with this particular stakeholder group, he has communicated to me that there has been some dissatisfaction in the past, and with the spirit of truly honoring our commitment to allow for more active participation from the stakeholder group in the budget development phase, I want to be able to I want to go over some of the enhancements that we've made. One of the things we'll be achieving today is clarifying the process for the budget development overall, and again specifically on how the stakeholder group at what points in time they can provide input towards the development. We want to clarify the current set of basic tools and services that ICANN is providing to this group, and at that point, so we can talk more about some special services. We also want to we'll be clarifying the budget timeline again, so we can have a clear and concise process of how the development will take place. And at the end, as Akram mentioned, have it be an interactive forum and be able to hear your thoughts so that we can hammer out a well-thought-out process and development. Some of the enhancements that we want to share with you are the strategic plan and the budget development phase, whereas in the past, these were two distinct six-month processes, and the completion of the strategic plan was a prerequisite for the commencement of the budget development phase. Now we've tied in the completion of the strategic plan to the first ICANN meeting of the fiscal year. The next phase of the budget development is the development of the framework. That is now tied in to the second ICANN meeting of the fiscal year, which will be in San Francisco in March. And the last phase, which is the development of the final operating plan and budget, will be tied into the June meeting in Asia. One other thing that I wanted to mention is that in response to community feedback for having earlier input into the budget development phase, we are opening up the phase where we're developing the actual framework to allow for input from the stakeholder group with any requests, any special services that they deem needed and that require resources from ICANN. So we'll be going over that in a future slide. Whereas before, stakeholder groups could only provide input once a framework had been posted for public comment, this stakeholder groups will now have, again, the ability to provide more meaningful impact into its actual development rather than after the fact. And again, we've widened out the timeline to give you ample time to do so. So the strategic plan, as I previously mentioned, now is tied into the first meeting of the fiscal year. As you can see by the green arrow representing the framework development phase, we're now taking earlier input rather than waiting for the actual completion of the strategic plan, with the goal of the framework being finalized by the time San Francisco meeting takes place in March. And again, to allow more time for input from the stakeholder group, the draft budget plan will begin towards the tail end of the framework development, with the goal of completion or submission to the board for approval in the June meeting. The different starbursts that you see on each arrow represents an opportunity for public comment. So now that the draft strategic plan has been posted, it is open for public comments, if anybody would like to see that. The goal for the framework is to have that posted up in mid-February for public comments, and have the draft operating budget posted by the 17th of May as required by the bylaws for public comment and again, for adoption in the June meeting. The chain of events that will be occurring from now until that point in June are as follows. So right now we're currently in discussion for finalizing this basic set of tools and resources that ICANN provides. And the process for submitting requests for specific services above and beyond the basic tool set. Once finance receives these requests, we will be cost estimating them based on current information that we have and based on allocated resources internally as well as outside expertise. These will be summarized and included in the framework that will be posted for public comment in February. Based on that feedback, we will be then developing the draft budget, which again will be posted for public comments in the month of May, and finally forwarding that to board submission and finalization in the June meeting. Any questions so far? Great. So this is an overall set of tools and services that we're providing to GNSO generally. These services include anywhere from secretariat support to language services, finance and legal team support, subject matter experts, whether it's internal staff or outside experts. In addition to this basic set of tools and services, we're also providing travel support. Just keep in mind these amounts are annual amounts, so if you're trying to get a per-meeting basis, just divide that by three. Now, again, these are the basic set of services. If this stakeholder group deems it requires or wants to make a specific request for a project, a study, or anything that they believe has a strategic benefit, we've developed a process for doing so. Budget requests, again, for the special – I'm sorry.
So just to be clear, the additional requirement on staff time, additional support for more bandwidth from the staff or calls or more conferences, conference meetings and stuff, do not need to follow the special request process. That, you know, we will handle with the department, like the manager of policy. You talk to him, and then he will allocate more people and stuff like that. And it's important to do that as well if you can see that your workload is growing so that they have the right time to plan the entire pool of staff resources that they have for the next fiscal year. But that's not a that doesn't need a full a formal requirement. A formal request. Sure.
I do just have a clarifying question. It's Marilyn Cade, and just I'm asking the question because I want to know whether you're going to address it later. If you are, then we can address it then. If not, I'd like to add it in. So you're talking GNSO. The heading here was GNSO support. Right? But the previous heading, Kevin? Right. In the operating plan and the budget, there's a category called constituency support, which has several million dollars in it. Are we going to talk about that? Because as you guys know, we object to the terminology there, but it does also have work in it that is of interest to these constituencies, such as enforcement and compliance.
I mean, I guess we can't. It's your meeting, so we can't stop you from talking about it. The plan was not to talk about the actual budget. The plan was to talk about the process so that we make sure that we get the input in before the framework as opposed to after the framework. I think Marilyn's question was, is this the time to provide input on the overall entire budget? And I'd say that's not the – I mean, we're – like I said, it's your meeting. You can ask any question you want to. But we're not – we haven't – there's not that process is starting now. And the only thing we're adding at this time is the clear direction on support services and support things that you need so that when we're building that framework, staff and is building that framework, we're not working in a vacuum. We get the direct communication, and there won't be some of the communication challenges we had in the past.
I just wanted to be sure that you were expecting these three constituencies to be providing you input on those other areas as well, and not just thinking it was going to be about the GNSO support, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I believe that the entire process is conducive to provide feedback on the, you know, when we post the framework, which shows the entire budget, there is a public comment period where we can provide, you know, comments on all of the different pieces of the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. So again, on the budget request for specific services, these should be received by SO and AC leadership. We'll be going over on the next slide in terms of the actual template form that these requests should be submitted in. But those template forms should be sent via email to controller@icann.org. Once finance receives these submissions, we will be cost estimating them, as previously mentioned. And they'll be added to the framework for public posting, at which point the prioritization process will begin based on public comments received during the open period. One thing also I'd like to mention is that although yes,
Chris Chaplow, just so I've got it right, when's the framework getting published? Did I miss that just earlier?
It will be published for public comment in February.
In February. Because last time round, we all felt that it wasn't granular enough, and it was also too late. And then when we sort of spoke about it, we said, oh, well, we need this information earlier. So really, I think we should have some sort of draft version that was more granular than last year's that we can work with. Because I think come February, we'll get a version that's not granular enough, and then we'll be told it's all too late. This is what I'm a little bit concerned about.
So the plan is to have a framework that's posted in February to do public comment on the framework, and then there is a draft that is posted again for public comment May 17th. So that draft is what goes to the board for approval. So there is plenty of time to look at the framework and provide comment on the framework so that we can make adjustments and get it into the draft that goes to the board for approval. So, and one of the concerns was actually, do we have enough time to provide comment on the framework and adjust to the draft? So that's why we did this. And then we also extended the period for submitting requests from just before the framework goes out to like the final draft, to the draft being posted. So we'll accept requests even through the second phase after the framework is posted to be doing the draft.
So. Yeah, and Chris Chaplow again, and we'll look forward to that obviously. But can I ask Kevin that he's given input to make sure that some of these items, like Marilyn just mentioned, constituency support, which included a lot of staff activities, and then when we tried to unravel it, it was actually quite difficult. Mm-hmm. And I know you're working on improving the systems so that the, you know, I don't know, the account codes or whatever, that these items can be separated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're working on another new cost accounting. We didn't want to get into the financials of the organization, but we're working on new cost accounting model. We are also installing a new software to actually allow us to be more granular and cut the data any way we would like to, and be able to show things in different ways. The new software will not be installed till the end of the fiscal year, so we're hoping to start next fiscal year the ledger with the new software, so that gives us, you know, I can't promise yet how much history it'll give us, but for the FY12, it'll all be in there. So that doesn't provide too much reporting, but depending on the history that we will have input into the new software, we could have more reporting done. So we'll see as we as the software installation progresses.
Christina Rosette, I want to make sure that I'm clear on this, because I need to come at this from two angles. First, as a member of the IPC, and second, as a GNSO counselor. So just so that I'm clear, when you're talking about SOAC leadership, for purposes of this room, are you talking about the requests would have to come through the GNSO Council?
I mean, this is a new process, so it's evolving. So the stated thing is SOAC leadership.
Okay.
I know, for example, we've talked to Chuck, and he said, that's not me, right? So, and even some of the other stakeholder groups have talked about how they would delegate that down. So I think the smart thing to do, I mean, it's up to Akram and Juan. The smart thing to do is to follow the lead of the community on this. So